Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I want to see a lot of smiles. I have to remind you every week, do I? It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the day that He gave us to be here. No better place to be. If this is where you want to be today, you smile. You be happy. Rejoice in the Lord that you are alive and you are in His house to be drawn closer to Him today. Amen. It's a great Sabbath for me. All Sabbaths are great, but special Sabbath. My brother is here with us today. He came down, and my new brother, Augustine, you guys have known him for a while, and to meet him, but it's good to have my brother in town. We have been especially close growing up, and I've relied on him a lot, and even though he's my younger brother, sometimes he was my older brother. But you'll learn a little bit about that in the message today, because it actually just kind of fits. Well, we have back to Eden outside. Anybody? Well, Nicholas had you raise your hands if you saw it. If you haven't saw it, Brother Paul, my son, and myself drove down Sunday morning to Georgia to pick it up. We got back late Tuesday night. It is here. God is good. There was no problems whatsoever. Even the weather was perfect. And we are ready to use it for the Lord's work. Amen? Speaking of that, our first opportunity is Keene is having a camp meeting. The Keene Seventh-day Adventist Church is having a camp meeting the end of this month. It's going to be Wednesday the 30th through June the 1st. Anybody that would like to help out, be part of this initial work, to work in the truck, to actually get the word out there, let people try what we're serving, please see me after church and tell me you're interested in volunteering, because we have, and take this date down, Thursday the 24th. That's next Thursday at 7 p.m. If you're interested, please come for training. We're going to train you in how the food truck operates. We're going to train you in how to cook the food that we have. We have a very simple menu to start out with, which we're taking to Keene. So it's be real simple, but we definitely want anybody's interest in volunteering, or, you know, actually it's going to become a paying job as soon as we get it to hit the streets of Dallas-Fort Worth. So that's the first thing I want to tell you about. The next thing, and are we going to have issues with this today? Is it going to work? Go ahead. There we go. What does that say? Family Fun Day, June 3rd, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. That is a Sunday. We are going to have family games, activities, and prizes. Back to Eden will be there, and what we want to do is supply at least a barbecue sandwich to every person that comes, plus watermelon. Now, what we're asking the church family to bring themselves, bring their friends, bring sides, and dessert to share. Again, Family Fun Day, June 3rd, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., let us come together, fellowship together, grow in unity with one another, and become even greater the family that we already are. Amen? All right. Celtic Revival Mission Trip 2018. We are going to Cork, Ireland. And this is open to anyone that wants to go serve the Lord. Talking with our sister church there, what they are going to do from November 17th to 20th, they're going to have a health fair. And we are going to go there and help them in the city of Cork with that health fair. I don't know exactly what we're doing, but whatever they ask us to do, we'll be right there to help them. Amen? Now, from the 20th to the 25th, we are going to tour the rest of the country of Ireland, and it's pretty small. It's about the size of the state of Indiana. I know we got one person here from Indiana, so he can vouch for the size of Indiana. But it's very small. And there's a wonderful... This right here is the Cliffs of Moher. This is one of the places that we will visit. But as we go, we're going to have a special glow track for the Irish people that we will be going around the country handing out, being glow missionaries. It's going to be a very simple mission trip, but it'll be very rewarding. And anybody that's interested in finding out more about it, meet for all people interested right after the service in the prayer room. Nope, I take that back because we have something else right after service. When you grab your plate for fellowship lunch, please come in the prayer room, bring your plate, and we'll talk about it when you bring your plate in there. Amen? All right. Now that that's out of the way, we are continuing in our series of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, learning the principles in these commandments for our lives today. The whole job for the leadership here at Hurst Church is to prepare God's people to enter His kingdom. If we are not helping you do that, we are failing you. So what we're going to do each week, we are going to bring the Word of God to you, give it practical applications so that you can understand what God would like us to do to be prepared to live forever with Him. Amen? Amen. So we're continuing in our series today. Last week was a pretty heavy topic, and I understand it was children's church at the same time, and that was God's doing. It was adultery last week. And this week is actually a natural product of man and woman coming together in the family. And today we are going to touch on the fifth commandment, where it says in Exodus 20:12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Today we are talking about the fifth commandment, honoring your father and your mother. This is the first commandment on the second tablet. The first tablet is love to God. Amen? Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4 shows your love to God. 5 through 10 is your love to fellow man. And this is the first one. I tell you, I see why it's the first one. Because if you do not keep this fifth commandment properly, all the others you will not be able to keep. It is the foundation. It is the basis of love for your fellow man. Amen? And before we go any further, I need to give the kids a word. It's honor. Kids, if you're listening, mark down the word every time I say honor. Honor, honor, honor. See if you get those. And we need to pray. We need to ask the Lord to lead in this message. Please bow your heads with me one more time. Father in heaven, I thank you again for this opportunity to serve you, to serve your people, to speak for you today. Lord, I ask for your Spirit to speak through me. Let your words be heard, not mine. Let each one of us hear what we need to hear today that will draw us closer to you and prepare us to live forever with you. Thank you for answering this prayer according to your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, we are looking at the fifth commandment, the foundation for love to our fellow man. This commandment is one that any successful culture, if they want to be successful in their culture, in their environment, this commandment needs to be kept. And you will find, you'll see, that cultures in this world that honor their father and their mother tend to be more successful, tend to be less violent. You look at places like Japan, and there's a heavy emphasis on honoring your mother, your father, your grandparents. And look at their violence compared to ours. There's a world of difference. But we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians are called to set an example to the world in everything that God has for us. Amen? Amen. I want to read from the pen of inspiration what it says. More powerful than sermons. Parents, God desires you to make your family a sample of the family in heaven. Guard your children. Be kind and tender with them. Father, mother, and children are to be joined together with the golden links of love. One well-ordered, well-disciplined family is a greater power in demonstrating the efficiency of Christianity than all the sermons in the world. Amen? When fathers and mothers realize how their children copy them, they will watch carefully every word, every gesture. Today, our message is a simple path to long life. Now, this commandment is pretty cut and dry, but we're going to dig a little deeper today and see the basis how we can keep this commandment holy unto the Lord so that we and our children are not in danger of breaking it, but can claim the promise that is attached to it, that your days may be long. Amen? Turn with me now in your Bibles to Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Where the Apostle Paul has basically repeats this command. And we're going to look at it a little deeper. We're going to break it down and get some additional understanding of what God has for us in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And get an amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. You guys are quick. Very good. Verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Obedience is the heart of honoring your parents. Amen?
Amen?
And it goes on to say, in the Lord. What does this mean when it says, obey your parents in the Lord? because it's like governments. You need to obey in the way that they have set. You can obey a parent, but if it does not agree with the way the Lord has set His government, it is not the right thing to do. Amen? If anything your parent, this is where we're going to get this off the ground, if anything your parent tells you to do that is in conflict with what the Lord tells you to do, you need to let it go. Remember Matthew 6:33, put God first in everything in your life. Amen? So if your parents tell you, hey, I don't like this guy, go kill him. What do you do as a loyal, obedient child? You do not go kill somebody, because God's command says, thou shalt not kill. Amen? This is what we're talking about. If it is in conflict with God's law, you need to let it go. It says, when children have unbelieving parents and their commands contradict the requirements of Christ, then, painful though it may be, they must obey God and trust the consequences with Him. I think that makes it clear for us, right? Now again, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first thing you see. Obedience to your parents is right. Amen? But look at Colossians 3:20. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So the first thing we see, obedience to your parents is right. In Colossians 3:20, it says, when you are obedient to your parents, it is well-pleasing unto the Lord. How many here want to please the Lord? He certainly did a lot for us. Amen? We're living, breathing in this room today because of the mercies and the patience of the Almighty. He who loved us first, we should do everything that we can to love Him in return. And what does God want the most? What does God want the most? Even beyond that, what does God want? What's the end result of what God wants? Amen. My wife's heard it enough from me. 2 Peter 3:9. God wants that none should perish, that all enter the kingdom, but all should come to repentance. And that's where the obedience comes in. But ultimately what God wants, He loves us. He loves everybody in this room. He loves everybody in this city. Ultimately what God wants, He wants everybody to live forever with Him in His kingdom. A kingdom where we have been shown in the Bible through and through that there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. A great place of love, a great place that if we understood what was there waiting for us, we all would want it that much more. God wants each and every person in the kingdom. And obedience to His laws is a requirement for the kingdom. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not if you fear me, but if you love me, keep my commandments. There will be no disobedient soul in the kingdom of heaven. This is true. Every government has its laws, right? You break the laws of the United States, well, sometimes you suffer the consequence, sometimes you don't. But it's supposed to be you suffer the consequence when you break the laws. Well, heaven doesn't have that. It's one way or the other. It's black or white. There will be no disobedient person in the kingdom of heaven. It cannot be, because God made a promise to everyone. He said, there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. Well, if a disobedient person enters the kingdom, guess what? There's going to be these things. That's what happened with Satan. And God has promised there will never be a Satan again. Beautiful thing is we will have free will there, but we won't want to sin. We won't want to be disobedient to the Lord, because we understand that these laws that He has, it's not because I said so, it's because I love you. I give you these laws. And this is the only reason to keep the laws of God. Obedience to parents is crucial in being obedient to God. And the parents are to teach our children to learn of God how to be faithful in that which is little. Because when you're faithful in that which is little, faithful to the command to obey your parents is little compared to being faithful to obeying God in heaven. Amen? And we find that in Luke 16:10. Now, unfortunately, these days, this commandment has been largely neglected and is increasing, as we have been told in the Bible it would. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." These are signs that Jesus is coming soon. These are the signs of the last days, and one of those signs is disobedient to their parents. And I got to tell you, this is not just outside the church. This means within the church as well. We as God's people have a work to do with our children. Amen. Children are not to be indulged. Our prisons are full and filling up with old men and women, with young men and women that never learned the principle of the fifth commandment to honor their father and their mother. They never learned how to honor God properly. I pray that your children are not heading that direction. But a lot of it rests. Not everything. They have their own free will. They have their own mind. A lot of it rests is how you train that child from a young age. Amen? And this brings me to the next point. How can we curb this? How can we show this true love to our children? If we want our children in the kingdom, this is true love, right? You want your kids to partake of this kingdom where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more death? Yes. If you love your children, that's what you want for them. If you love your children, that's what you want for them, and you will work towards that. So we want to see how we can show this true love to our children, these children that we want in the kingdom. This is a parent's obligation to their children from the youngest of ages. God trusted you as a steward with these babies to train them in the way they should go. And Proverbs 22:6 reminds us, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Now, that doesn't mean he might not stray for a little bit. But if you train that child at a young age in the way he should go, it's constantly with him. The Holy Spirit will not leave him alone. And again, I'm standing in this pulpit today, living proof that that's true. My parents trained me. My parents trained me in understanding of the Word, these things. And yes, I left for a time. Praise the Lord, God's mercy was with me. But I am back because I had a basis, I had a foundation to come back to. If you do not give those kids, your kids, that foundation, what does it do for them? They have nothing to come back to if they so happen to stray from God. Train a child up in the way he should go. And again, I want to make a point that you've heard, it takes a village to raise a child. Absolutely nonsense. Yes, nonsense. It takes two godly parents following the Word of God to raise a child. It takes that village to support those parents. Our village is this church. We should support those parents. If you see a kid getting out of line, you take them to the parents and let the parents do the discipline. Right? You pray for that family. You pray for those children. Yes, it takes a village to support, but it does not take a village to raise those children. God would, if God wanted it that way, He would have had 100 people have two kids. It's not how it works. It's a mom and a dad and a child. This is the parent's obligation, no village. So how does this training look? Turn with me. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. Let's look at just a sample of how this what this training looks like. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. I think today we're going to answer some questions for parents. They may have not known these answers, but we're going to go to the Bible and we're going to answer some questions for parents how to raise their children. We're not just going to tell you you have to do it and this is the way to do it, but not give you some examples how to raise your children. That would be not kind of us. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. It says, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Parents, this is what you're to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Every opportunity we get to share God's love, God's law, God's word with our children, this is what we are to be doing. Amen? And I want to give you a little warning with that as well. Do not go preach to your children what's in the word. Preach at them, tell them they got to do it and not live it yourself. Because what that does, that confuses them. They're like, what? The best teaching you can give them is to live it. Yes, that's a struggle for us. It's something we need to do every day, but we got to come to the Lord every day ourselves and ask for the Spirit to indwell us and guide us. We fail. I'm not saying we don't fail at it, but I'm saying we got to get back up when we realize God shows us that we have failed and get back up, ask the Lord to help us, and again, try to lead by example more than by word. I've failed at it. I've been there. I understand that. I'm not here condemning any person in this room. You point one finger, all the rest are pointing at you anyway. But this is God speaking to us, pastor included. Amen. It says, parents, the Bible presents a perfect standard of character. This sacred book, inspired by God and written by holy men, is a perfect guide under all circumstances of life. It sets forth distinctly the duties of both young and old. If made the guide of life, its teachings will lead the soul upward. It will elevate the mind, improve the character, and give peace and joy to the heart. But many of the young have chosen to be their own counselor and guide and have taken their cases in their own hands. Such need to study more closely the teachings of the Bible. In its pages, they will find revealed their duty to their parents and to their brethren in the faith. This here, part of that, was my story. But many of the young have chosen to be their own counselor and guide. I lived my life for many years that way, and it was an absolute failure. Failed experiment, and took a lot of hard knocks to realize that, and a lot of mercy and patience from the Lord. But I tell you, He does. He has plenty of mercy and patience for us. It's imperative that we teach our children to honor God and it not just be lip service. Amen? Let's take this a little deeper. Turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus. Leviticus 19, and we'll start with verse 2. Leviticus 19, verse 2. Take an amen when you get there. Leviticus 19, verse 2. It says, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.'" What are we called to do here? Revere your mother and father, right? But what does God couple this with? Keep my Sabbaths. This is an important aspect of what we teach our children, to keep God's Sabbath holy. Because as we revere God. We show our kids to revere God. And one of the greatest ways to revere God is keep the day holy that He set aside. That He set aside. Now, this is going to get a little dicey here for a second. I might step on a few toes. Correction, the Word might step on a few toes. Let's go to verse 30. We're connecting this here, honoring your father and your mother, keeping the Sabbath. And verse 30 says, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Do you see a connection? On top of that, what are we to do? As we honor our parents, as we keep the Sabbath, we are called to reverence the sanctuary. And I'm telling you now, in Adventist churches worldwide, especially here in North America, far too little reverence for God's sanctuary is being taught by the parents for their kids. And I tell you furthermore, God is absolutely displeased with this. We think we can treat Him and His house like it's something common. Do you remember the stories of the priest Aaron, the priest Samuel? Both of these men allowed their sons to disrespect the temple, the sanctuary. In the Old Testament, both these sets of sons were killed. Praise God that we're not in that right now. Because these churches we have in North America might be pretty empty right now. Parents, if you love God, if you reverence God, you teach your children to reverence God, and you teach them to reverence His sanctuary. There's no two ways about it. And we got some changes to make, amen? And by the grace of God, we can. God will help us. God will help you. I'm not telling you something to lay a burden on you that you're, "Oh, how can I do it? How can I do this?" No. Take it to the Lord. He will show you the way. Gladly. He wants our love. He wants our honor. Discipline is absolutely a godly principle. And that's what we're going to talk about for a moment. Who God loves, He disciplines. See, parents, we have a job to do. If we want our kids to honor us, it starts with us. Amen? Because they don't know how to honor us till we teach them. That's true. So if your kids are running crazy and you haven't taught them not to, it's not their fault. Amen? It comes back to you. It's parents' job. Remember back to the village saying, it's the parents' job to raise the child. It's not the village. It's not. Don't send them to me to discipline your child. Because I'm going to set you down first. And we're going to talk. I'm not the one to discipline your child. You are. I'm here to pray with you, to counsel you, to help you in any way I can. But I'm not the first line. I'm not the first line. Neither is the elder. Neither are the deacons. Amen? Now, not only discipline, we are not to be indulgent of our children. And that's to give them whatever they need. I take that back. Give them what they need. Amen? You don't give them just everything they want. You are training a child wrong. You're training that child to be a menace to society. You're training that child to a point where nobody's going to want to be around him. If you love that child, you want everybody to be around him. You want him to enjoy the company of other people. Well, if you don't train a child, you're indulgent to him. What you're doing is training him to where nobody wants to be around him. Nobody loves a brat. And that's a fact. Love your child. Discipline your child. Who God loves, He disciplines. Hebrews 12:6. It says, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens." Chastens is to correct, is to discipline. "And scourges every son whom He receives." Amen? Everyone that God loves, He disciplines. I receive plenty of it. And it hasn't been fun all the time. But I'm thankful for it. Because it is shaping me and preparing me to live in the kingdom. As parents, we need to do the same for our children. You want them in the kingdom, right? Who God loves, He disciplines. Who parents love, they should discipline. Amen? This is simple. But Very important. When you discipline your child, there's one thing that has to be done. It has to be done in love. Amen? Any other kind of discipline without a basis in love is nothing more than abuse. And God frowns on that as well. It has to be done in love. The Bible is clear that training our children, discipline our children, is to include physical discipline. All right, and I know when we walk out, we have some kids that ain't happy with me. But I got to share what the Word says. Amen? It's not for me to do anything other than what God says. When all else fails, some of us learn better through our backsides than through here. It's true. Some of us have harder heads than others, and it's hard to get through to them. This is bad news for kids that don't want to listen to their parents the first time. But let's turn in the Bible. Turn with me now. I'm going to let you guys see this for yourself in the Word. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. I said there might be some kids upset with me now, but I tell you what, you make it in the kingdom and you learn this principle of obedience to your parents, you're going to be very thankful that the Word was given to you to show you the way. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. It says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. If you do it in love, you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. That's pretty heavy, right? Man. And I'm here living testimony that rod was used on me plenty and I'm alive. It may hurt for a little bit, but the good it does is much better. Turn now to Proverbs 13, 24. If that wasn't enough for you to understand that it's all right to discipline your child, to spank your child, actually you should, the Bible is very clear. But in love, do not wait till you're done being angry with that child before you apply discipline. Amen? You let that anger subside. Because it's not about being angry, not about being angry and going beat them because you're angry with them. That's not what it is. A spanking is to teach them to be good citizens, not only in this world, but the next. Proverbs 13, 24. And people have heard plenty of versions of this through the ages, but it says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Can it be any clearer? Again, it has to be done in love. Prayerfully is the way to do it. Let the Lord guide you. Not in anger. Let your anger cool. Now I'm going to speak a little bit. A tale, to help you understand this, a tale of two brothers. Because it needs to be done, but it doesn't always need to be done. I was one that needed the rod. It's just my personality. I was hard head. But that one back there didn't need it. You got spanked a lot less than I did. Because he gets spanked and that was it. The first time he's like, man, I'm going the other way. He's toeing the line. I'm trying to figure a way I can get around it and still do what I want to do. Thinking I can outsmart my parents. Well, that didn't work too much. That's what I love about you. I learned so much from him. It's just like the Bible. I tell you, the Bible is there for us to learn, right? From other people's mistakes. He would say, he wanted to do the things I wanted to do. But he sat and waited and watched me go through it and see if I was successful before he decided to do it. You want to know the smarter brother, I'll be honest, right there. My backside suffered. But I'm here. It's all repaired. It's all good. I can sit down. Because he can also vouch that I deserved a lot of my whoopings. I deserved them. I know. But I'm here today. I'm here in this pulpit today largely because of my parents followed good biblical instruction. And they loved me enough to teach me proper discipline, even when it required physical discipline for me. I know they didn't like it. I know that, you know, you hear that as a kid. This hurts me more than it hurts you. You know, as a kid, you're like, you're wrong, you're lying to me now. But seriously, I as a parent and happened to do that a few times, it does. You don't want to do it, but it is necessary. You are preparing your children for the kingdom. Amen? And I praise God again that my son didn't follow my footsteps. You got one or two spankings in your whole life, but he was one that was it, man. Okay, obedient child. My daughter was the same. Praise God, because they didn't put me through what I put my parents through, because I know it bothered them to have to discipline me that way, but it needed to be done. And again, I'm thankful for it. Amen? Now, let's look at the flip side of this. Let's look again in Ephesians 6, back to verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. It says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." When we deal with our children, the Bible is also clear not to provoke our children, not to unnecessarily anger our children. In Colossians 3:21, it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." We are not to make our children bitter towards us and towards discipline, and especially we're not to make our children bitter towards this. Amen? This is to be shared with love with your children. This is not to be forced. Take every opportunity to share it in every way you can. Pray for your children, but don't ever try to force this upon them. They will run the other way. Again, straight testimony right here. I did for 18 years from people forcing on me, not necessarily my parents. Do not unnecessarily anger your children, because you will discourage them, for one. Evaluate your rules and see if your rules of your house are necessary for getting your kids into the kingdom. Amen? Evaluate your rules of your home against the Word of God. Don't enter into disputes with your kids with things that don't matter. Again, guilty. Sorry, Fulton. I had to learn this. I'm still learning it sometimes, but leave it alone. Be always kind and loving in all your interactions with your children, especially when you have to apply discipline, when you have to enforce the rules of the house. Amen? The bottom line with this commandment is if it is kept properly, it comes with an amazing promise. An amazing promise from God. Another thing, a point I want to make, is we all have an obligation to this commandment as long as your parents live in this world. So if you're 60 and your parents still live, you better honor your mother, your father. It doesn't end. Amen? And we're all someone's child. We all have an obligation to this commandment. But let's look at this promise. It's found also in Ephesians 6, as Apostle Paul repeats the commandment. Said that in verse 3, it says that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. The promise is if you will honor your parents, your father and your mother, you will live long upon this earth. This has two points. You will live long upon this earth when you honor your father and mother, when you're obedient to them. Why? Because there's something called the process of experience. Children, parents have something you do not have. They have something called been there, done that. And some of our parents have learned these things the hard way. Yep. Mine did too. These parents love you. It is hard to watch someone you love make hurtful mistakes to themselves. Hurtful mistakes to themselves that you know could have been avoided. Now I want you to take a moment to think of our Heavenly Father and imagine what we do to Him on a daily basis. All the time. Because He's shown us right here. He set the path for us. And we hurt his feelings. We hurt him a lot because he sees us making these mistakes that we don't have to make. It's the same for our parents. I know I did the same to my father. It's my dad, because often he would tell me, son, if you do that and do that, this, and this is going to happen. Well, you know me, I ain't listen. You don't know what you're talking about, old man. I'm going to do this and it's going to be different. You don't know what you're talking about. It caused me a whole lot of trouble because he certainly knew what he was talking about. Why did he know what he was talking about? Because of experience. It went until later he told me that, yeah, he did some of those same things and he suffered the consequences. He was trying to protect me, trying to save me from myself in my own ways. That's what we as parents are to do. To make life for our children as easy as possible in that regard. By giving them discipline, by showing them how to honor their parents and showing them the way of the kingdom. Amen? Why he knew was experience. Why he told me was love. I want to put a little side note in here. Parents, children, there is something that wars against this commandment of honoring your parents, obedience to your parents. And it's found today in popular culture. You'll find it in the TV. You'll find it in movies. You'll find it in games. You'll find it in music. This is the plan of the enemy. Whatever you try to build up at home, teach them principles of God at home, the devil is actively, every other waking moment, trying to tear those principles down. And he primarily uses these ways. Be on guard, parents. Be on guard, children. The devil wants to destroy you. So if you listen to your parents, they will teach you the right ways through this life, and through experience, it will show you how to live longer here. Amen? It will also translate as you listen to their spiritual instruction. The promise also will be true. You will live longer in the new earth forever. Obedience to your parents, this fifth commandment, is key to every one of us entering into the kingdom. I'm going to show you something from, as we close, from the pen of inspiration again. Why this commandment is so important. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the new earth. Children who dishonor and disobey their parents and disregard their advice and instructions can have no part in the earth made new. Ouch. Do we love our children? Do we have some changes to make? The purified new earth will be no place for the rebellious, the disobedient, the ungrateful son or daughter. Unless such learn obedience and submission here, they will never learn it. The peace of the ransom will not be marred by disobedient, unruly, unsubmissive children. No commandment breaker can inherit the kingdom of heaven. I don't think it can be spelled out any clearer than that. Brothers and sisters, a simple path to long life is found in the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. In Ephesians 6, obey your father and mother. Parents, if you don't know how to raise your children to do this, it's time to get on your knees and ask God to help you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things, and that is raising your children in the proper biblical way as well. Amen? He will help you get on this path. He will help you stay on this path. And I got to tell you, it is not too late for any one of you today. Even if your children are grown, there are ways to continue to influence and help them understand this principle. Joel 2:25, we're going to end with Joel 2:25. This is a promise given. And I took this promise in, and I'm so thankful for this promise. Joel 2:25, here's the Lord says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Many years I didn't do right. Many years I failed. But the Lord said, if you turn to me and ask for my help, I will restore those years. I will help you in a stronger way, help you bring those kids back into understanding and obedience as they need to be. Amen? If you haven't been training your child right, if you have not been disciplining your child in the way of the Word, start today. God will give you extra help to bring your children into obedience, but you have to do your part. Don't expect God to put your children and do it for you. It's a teamwork thing. Amen? He's shown us in His Word the instructions. Now all we got to do is ask for His help and move forward and keep the fifth commandment as He has shown us. Please bow your heads with me in prayer again. Father, we thank You again for Your love for us, Your mercy for us, for Your guidance, showing us in Your Word how we can raise our children that we love, that we know You love even more than we do, to be able to be citizens of Your eternal kingdom. Lord, we ask for Your help. We fail many times, but we have seen clearly in Your Word today what You would have us do. Guide us, direct us, so that we fail You not, that our children will one day be found in Your eternal kingdom. Life forevermore, where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. Thank You so much for Your love. Thank You for answering this prayer according to Your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.